Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
Trick. 3. I got a mile of numbers and a ton of stats. My forehead's a billion shot in the forehead. I don't even worry about crime anymore. So many goddamn scared faces. I keep thinking of Russia.
خوش اومدید.
Hey there.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. As I always say, all day it is.
Yes.
I love it that we're doing this on Friday. It's so good.
Yes, likewise.
I get to say Friday all day. It's great.
Yep. Psychosocial Radio on Radio Free Brooklyn. Happy Friday to everybody, one and all. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you are live with us for another episode, episode number 7 to be exact. Of Psychosocial Radio.
Lucky 7.
Lucky 7, indeed. And we have, as promised, we've been building this up for the last couple of weeks, a very, very special guest live in the studio with us today.
How's it going?
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we have Mr. Philip Llanos here with us. And we are very, very happy and appreciative and grateful to have Philip Llanos in the studio with us today here at Radio Free Brooklyn on Psychosocial Radio. Phil, I want to give you a chance to obviously introduce yourself and definitely speak about your background and just, you know, introduce yourself to our listener audience.
Sure. So I found out about this show and it seemed like a perfect marriage of the interests that I have in terms of rock and roll and punk rock in specific and psychology and mental health. So I'm a professor at John Jay College, City University of New York. And I also provide mental health services. And I've also played in rock and roll bands, punk rock, indie rock bands. And I've also done college radio. And, you know, I love all of this stuff. So thought it was a cool thing. And I emailed guys and they said I could come down. I also recently wrote a book that I'm trying to get the word out about. It's called Written Off: Mental Health Stigma and the Loss of Human Potential. And looking for opportunities to get the word out to people, you know, who have interest in these kinds of things. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Phil. A great title, by the way, to, you know, your recently published book, titled Written Off: Mental Health Stigma and the Loss of Human Potential. We will definitely be speaking about this book and just like its central message throughout, you know, this radio hour, you know, to our surprise as well. Right, Edward? I mean, like, the sentiment is totally shared. When we, you know, got contact from Philip Llanos here, we're like, wow, this is really cool.
Yeah, for sure. Else, I mean, I just want to say how much I appreciate you guys, Philip, to come over to our show and, you know, talk to us. And yeah, the sentiment is, it's there and it's very mutual, you know, mental health and punk. I mean, it's great.
It's great to know that there are, you know, like-minded souls out there and, you know, really believe in this, you know, type of work.
And maybe somewhere out there in the listener audience.
I have no doubt about that. No doubt about that. You guys, don't be shy out there. We always we say this every week and we mean it.
Yeah, and today, as we always have a theme or topic that we're trying to cover, today we're going to speak a little bit on in general terms such as rock and roll and mental health. And I'll just leave it at that and we'll just piggyback and then take off from there.
Definitely, definitely. And for those of our listeners that are interested, and I imagine quite a number of them probably are, Philip Llanos also writes for, I guess we can mention it, right? Psychology
Sure.
Today. Psychology Today Online. It's a really great, really great publication. Articles which are, you know, written by a lot of professionals, mental health field, clinical psychology background, social workers as well, of course. And, you know, we would definitely, perhaps in the next set, we're going to be speaking a little bit about, you know, some of Philip's articles and specifically how I've always, you know, when I've read your articles, Phil, I thought it was great how you write about punk rock communities, alternative communities, however you want to call them, and really how they could serve as
a venue,
a protective factor, yeah. Even perhaps we could say for individuals that, you know, are, you know, presenting, you know, differently perhaps in society. And you talk a lot about, you know, the societal structures that come into play and the social structures that come into play that sometimes make people feel that maybe there's something wrong with them when perhaps there's really not much wrong with them. I mean, I know it's
right.
complicated.
Or it could be an issue of fit, right? So a lot of times we're thinking about, you know, a person in one context might have a very difficult time adjusting because they don't fit in with that context. So sometimes it's about the fit between the individual and the context. And so these alternative communities, whether it's punk rock or metal or, you know, even deadhead or whatever, you know, these are places that sometimes people who don't fit in mainstream context can find a way to fit in.
Yeah. In the norm, right?
Yeah, right.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's really no secret. I mean, we know personally, I mean, a lot of us get into this type of music, you know, because we're not exactly following, you know, the mainstream as far as music and aesthetics go. And, you know, and we're proud of that. So, you know, it's great that somebody's actually, you know, writing about this explicitly and talking about how these communities really just, you know, are almost like a refuge for a lot of individuals. They could serve as a refuge. I mean, so yeah.
Absolutely. You can definitely feel, even going to the gigs, you can feel belonged without even talking to anybody. I mean, I personally can walk into a show and I can say I feel home. You know, I feel like at home. I don't have to talk to anybody. I don't have to interact. But just being in that environment and looking around and seeing minded alike people that have the same interests. And I'm sure, you know, other subgenres are sharing that experience, but I feel like it's amplified for this specific subgenre versus, you know, not to talk back about electronic music or anything else, things like that, but I feel like it's more amplified. There's more of a family unity in metal, punk, hardcore, doom, slash, so many subgenres there.
Yeah. That feeling when you're all singing the words together, you know, and the words mean something to you, mm-hmm. you know, I think that's what is most powerful for me when I'm singing words of a song that I think it means something very specific to me personally, and then everybody else is doing it too.
Yeah,
that's the feeling of community that.
And it could mean something else to them.
Sure,
different, yeah. But that deep down inside feeling is mutually shared, and the energy can forget about the energy at the shows, or even the energy. I honestly, like, I'm getting like goosebumps talking about it because I mean, I feel it. Like, it's either you have it in you or you don't. You don't just wake up one day and say like, oh, I'm gonna be into metal and it sounds great. No, it's either you have it or you don't have it.
Absolutely, yep. And so, also,
so I certainly can, you know, share with everyone like that it's really the feeling that comes from within. And I mean, is it something you're born with? I don't think it's an acquired taste. This type of music is not an acquired taste.
Right.
Definitely not.
Yep. So speaking about music, let's just go over. We heard in our first set right there, opening up this first musical set, we heard, again, some great bands from yesteryear. That was Beyond right there, opening up this musical set. The song called Vitality. That was followed by Judge with classic song Bringing It Down. I think most of our listeners know these songs. Followed by Crackdown with a song called Freedom. Freedom's not free. Followed by Yuppicide with Yellow Journalism. And then a personal favorite of mine, old great punk rock band Minutemen with a song called Paranoid Chant. Oh my God, that has meaning on so many levels, which we're not going to get into right now. But a lot of meaning there. So this next musical set is actually being brought to you by our guest, Philip Llanos.
Can I say something about the song?
Please.
Okay, well, the first song has a lot of meaning to me because it's about, you know, being judged by others and kind of letting them know that they don't have a right to put you down that way, but also saying, hey, I know a place where people don't judge each other and anywhere we can join it. So that's what the song is.
That's beautiful, Phil. Thank you for that. And yeah, that first song kicking off this whole dedication set right now, Philip Llanos, is actually a song by good old Minor Threat in my eyes. So we hope you guys enjoy. Okay. Here we go.
I got because I find out there's only a very, very fine line between biding one's time and wasting one's time. Do you know what I mean? I got tired of waiting, that's all.
Radio Free Brooklyn is proud to announce that we will be launching an after-school program for local teenagers in 2019 to learn media literacy through media making using hands-on approach guided by local professionals. If you'd be interested in participating or donating to this program, please go to radioforbrooklyn.org/afterschool. And remember, all donations are tax deductible. And we are back live.
Psychosocial Radio, Radio Free Brooklyn. Yes, we hope you guys enjoyed that last musical set right there. That was a dedication piece to Mr. Philip Llanos, live in the studio with us here
today.
Appreciate
it.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yep, yep. You want to say a word about some of those songs, Phil?
Yeah, so all those songs have some personal meaning to me. They're all punk-related songs from the 1980s, and a lot of great music came out of that time, even though, you know, this was all underground music at the time. But every single song has some personal meaning to me. So, you know, has probably different meanings than they have to other people, but they mean something to me. And I also owned pretty much all those songs on tape, and I don't have those tapes anymore. So it's always great to be able to hear them somewhere.
Yeah. And, you know, it's always so refreshing to still even, like, you know, hear people say, just even talking with like friends and, you know, other people, just it's like when songs, you know, have meaning to people, to me, like that's almost like music to my ears. You know, it's so great, you know, not to sound like, you know, like some old timer here or anything like that, but like, you know, these days, I don't know if we not every song holds so much, you know.
I feel like because everything is just so accessible.
True, too. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
hard to focus. And I mean, I talk about it all the time, you know, off the radio, that I almost have like ADD when I start listening to music.
Mm-hmm.
I can't focus on sitting and listening to one album, let alone even looking at the cover art. You know, it's like, oh, what's next? Oh, there's another one. It's all these suggestions on the computer, like Spotify.
And it's hard to listen to a song all the way through. Like if you're checking out a new band, you list, like sometimes I find myself just listening to about a minute. And, you know, like honestly, if you're writing a song well, you know, some of the good stuff might not even kick in until you're,
right.
you know, a minute in. So.
It's a shame how, yeah. how distracted it could yeah. be that, mm-hmm. you know, let alone listening to the whole album like 2, 3, 4, 5 times right. in a row. I mean, I don't remember last time I did that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, there's just so much. And it's easily, again, it's easily accessible. And it's, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, sometimes I think it's like, you know, even almost like an exercise in focused meditation, you know, to sit down, listen to an album from start to finish, you know, from cover to cover. I mean, it's rare, I guess. You know, maybe, I don't know, a lot of people don't do that. Maybe perhaps, you know, they did it in some other time frames. But yeah, it's like I personally enjoy doing that. I always find that much more fulfilling than even, you know, jumping around from like song to song.
No,
but
for sure.
I know that the temptation.
It's almost like a curse and a bliss at the same time.
Right, right.
But yeah, a lot of bands, they write their albums with, you know, the progression from first song to the middle to the end, there's some theme going on. So jumping around from one song to another, the third, fifth, it's not how it was meant to be listened to.
Yep. Speaking about curses and blessings, more blessings than curses. you know, I was hoping that maybe we could even just, you know, touch back on what we started to talk about during our first talking set, you know, about how, you know, in the hardcore punk scene or hardcore punk scenes, I should say, there oftentimes, you know, is a real sense of community, and people can experience that, you know, that sense of community, camaraderie, however you want to call it, you know, in very personal, individualized ways. And, you know, we should never really take that for granted, because it's not always easily accessible to find a place or, you know, a collective, you know, group of individuals that really kind of come together for, you know, similar purposes and really enjoy that process and actually gain a sense of personal fulfillment from that. So I was thinking, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, it's not easy to find. And when you find it, it's special. And especially when you're growing up, when you're in your teens and early 20s, you know, it's especially important at that time when you're seeking community, you're seeking belonging. It's especially important that we have these kinds of scenes out there for people to find and be a part of. And of course, those are also the times when a lot of, you know, psychological problems arise. You know, they come up, they become most acute at that time for a lot of people. And so mm-hmm. It's just kind of, it's there when you need it most, you know. to be understood and not judged by others. So, yeah, so it's very important to have that, and I hope it never goes away.
It's around that time mm-hmm. as people go through their identity stages.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember from school, there was always like that example stood out. This is the time when you get the poster of your favorite artist mm-hmm. and post it on the wall. I don't know if kids do that anymore, if they sell those posters.
Yeah, but those processes and stages of development mm-hmm. are still definitely all the same, you know, mm-hmm. identity formation, identity development. And, you know, it's so, so true. Gosh, I mean, there's countless examples of this, but even personally speaking, I remember, you know, just growing up as a kid, you know, in my teens. And to me, you know, it's interesting. It's like, this is just one example amongst many, but like, even like, straight edge hardcore stood out to me. I mean, I loved a lot of the bands. I loved the sound and the whole, and everything kind of like tied to that, you know? And every scene has its excesses mm-hmm. as well, I should say. Right. But you know, for myself, I found like a real, again, like a protective factor to tap into. And, you know, basically, you know, when I was looking around, I saw other, you know, kids my age, maybe, you know, doing drugs and even like hardcore drugs and drinking too much, and kind of, you know, music was such an outlet for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, those kinds of scenes are really important. And I do think that the straight edge scene was a good thing. You know, a lot of people make fun of it. But listen to the music. There's some great bands that came out of that scene. Even if you're someone who enjoys, you know, substances in moderation, the message was there for people who were comforted by that. And, mm-hmm. you know, I personally was comforted by it. I mean, I felt like I wasn't ready to drink or anything like that. And this was something that, you know, made me feel like, okay, it's all right. You don't have to be partying. That's not how you become cool. You can be cool without that. So
Without a doubt. Yeah. I mean, you know, watching like, you know, MTV or, you know, major, you know, musical platforms where a lot of these behaviors, negative behaviors, are more often than not glamorized and even like celebrated. It was so, you know, like liberating for me to actually find another scene that I could identify with much more closer, and that was just positive and supportive. And yeah, of course, you know, people still make fun of it and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. like I said, every scene does have its excesses, of course. But on the whole, it was a real, you know, positive movement and a force. And, you know, I hope that even, you know, today that, you know, kids still have that out there, you know, these scenes that they could tap into, you know, I don't know, Edward, what do you think?
To be honest with you, with like, especially like hardcore or
metal.
Well, yeah, metal, but I'm talking specifically to like straight edge stuff. To me, first it was music, and then that, you know, I wouldn't even know like if this band is straight edge or not. It really would be the band and then what they believe is. So that's how at least it was for me.
That's so true, actually. You know, that's also, yeah, that's so true. You know, there's a saying, you know, in the recovery community, the first time I heard it, I had to like, you know, think about it a few times, and it was like, you know, kind of like meditating on it, and it was like, realized like, wow, that has a lot of truth value to it. The saying is, bring the body, the mind will follow. Right? Bring the body, the mind will follow.
Yeah.
So it's like, sometimes, you know, you go into like the rooms, you know, for recovery and treatment, and you don't exactly understand the message that's there. But if you keep actually coming, if you show up a certain amount of times, something's going to like seep through, you know, it almost comes through the air. And, you know, it's like analogous to like a hardcore scene. You know, I mean, it was for me when I was like growing up and stuff, like in the 90s and everything like that. Started going to enough shows, and I started to realize, okay, there's something more than just the music going on here, which was, you know, very, very comforting to me.
Cool. All right. Stuff.
Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here live in the studio again with Mr. Philip Llanos, author of great book, just came out about a year ago, right?
Approximately, yeah.
Yep. Name of the book, title is Written Off, Mental Health Stigma and the Loss of Human Potential. Yeah. Philip, you want to say just a few more words about this book and central thesis?
Sure. So I've done a lot of research on stigma, mostly on the experience of what you might call self-stigma or internalization of stigma. Basically the idea where, you know, you're aware of how other people think about something, a status that you have, in this case, mental illness, and you start to feel that way about yourself, and it impacts hope and self-esteem. So I've been involved with that for a while, and also done some clinical interventions targeting that. And done other research on community stigma and microaggressions, all kinds of different aspects of it. And I thought, I don't think there's a book that ties all this together for someone in the general interest audience that can explain it to them and make it sense. And, you know, there were other books that had like different chapters by different authors. And I thought it would be more accessible to bring this together in one book. So that's what I tried to do. It's a little bit maybe egotistical to try to write a book about something, but, you know, I decided to go for it, and seems like it's been helpful to some people to understand this area. Other people have found it to be helpful in other ways. So that was really what it's about, kind of getting that message out to people and letting them know what the research says so that they can see that this is a real thing. It's not, you know, it's not just made up.
Very nice. And if listeners were to be interested in getting this book, how can they get their hands on it?
They can get it on Amazon very easily. If you just write in the title and my last name, because there's a couple other books with the same title. So if you write in Written Off and Yanos, Y-A-N-O-S, you'll find it. But there's some bookstores that carry it, not too many. But you can also get a store to order it. Like if you go to a store and you want to buy it physically in the store, if you just tell them that they'll get it for you. So,
got it. Yeah. And just wanted to mention to all the listeners, if you are listening to us right now, we're just tuning in, we have a live call-in. If you'd like to have some questions to us or to our guest, please give us a call at 718-928-9732. Again, it's 718-928-9732. We would love to hear from you. And like I said, if you have any questions to our guest today.
Yeah, guys, please, you know, call in, you know, time, you know, use this time, you know, we don't bite. So yeah, please definitely call on that number, 718-928-9732. And you could speak to any three of us, Edward, Mr. Philip Yanos, or myself even as well. We will be very happy to take all phone calls. And I'll also just mention as well, Philip Yanos' book, Written Off, Mental Health Stigma and the Loss of Human Potential, is published on Cambridge University Press. So that could help.
Yeah, they sell it too. You can get it on their website, yeah. And it's not expensive. Mention that. A lot of books, you know, written in the field, you know, that cost like $80 or whatever. This is about $20.
Oh, yeah. That's not definitely bad at all.
Good to know. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, guys. So we're going to just start it up with some more music here. And next band I'm playing is actually a band that's also been around for a good amount of time, and they're actually playing a show tomorrow. So here's a show announcement. It's a band called, probably familiar to many of our radio listeners here, a band called No Redeeming Social Value from Queens, New York. And they're actually playing tomorrow with another old school band, Urban Waste. And they're actually playing out on Long Island, Amityville Music Center. I believe that's the name of the venue. And I will most likely be going there. So, yeah, No Redeeming Social Value, Urban Waste, Mephiscopheles.
There's I haven't heard that name in a long time.
Absolutely. At the Amityville Music Center. Mm-hmm. Yeah, tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I think doors are at 7 p.m. So here we go. We hope you guys enjoy this. Next musical set. Name of the song is called Chains of Hate by No Redeeming Social Value.
I can't hear you, what you're saying. Say quite clear.
If it pleases me, serve you.
If you like to listen to R&B when you're not in front of your computer, please consider downloading a free mobile app for iPhone and Android, available in the App Store for iPhone and the Google Play Store for Android. All right. Friday for us in studio is almost over. We are wrapping up for today.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we hope you enjoyed episode number 7, Psychosocial Radio on Radio Free Brooklyn. And again, I just want to extend a very special thank you to Mr. Philip Llanos. Phil, thank you so much for coming into the studio with us today, for sitting down with us for a bit and chatting with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
No, of course, it's been great.
Our pleasure. Our pleasure, yeah. And again, guys, the name of that book is Written Off, Mental Health, Stigma, and the Loss of Human Potential. I encourage everybody to read it if you're interested. I know that I surely am interested in this book, and thank you, Phil, for donating this book to us as well here.
Yeah.
Definitely looking forward to going through the chapters here. And
any final thoughts, Phil?
No, just have a good weekend. I mean, really, just enjoy the holiday season. You know, don't enjoy it irresponsibly, and just take care and try to be with your family and friends and, you know, whoever your family is, whatever your definition of family is.
Good
and,
call.
And hang and be with them, and that's what it's about.
Awesome. That's how we usually end our shows, actually.
Thank you so much. And again, ladies and gentlemen, Philip Llanos, he's a professor at the John Jay City University of New York, teaching courses in a whole bunch of stuff, actually, right?
clinical psychology stuff, yeah.
Yep. So, Philip, also, do you want to give any contact information just in case any of our guests would like to connect with you afterwards?
Sure. You can email me, PYANOS at JJAY.CUNY.EDU. Send me an email and I'll answer questions you have.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. All right, guys. We wish everybody great remainder of the week, a good weekend.
Till next week, we'll be tuning in next Friday, 3 to 4. Psychosocial Media on RFB.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Shabbat Shalom.
Later. Yeah.